Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Mark again as we continue our way through that book, and we're looking at chapter 7. But before I read that, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have left us with a God-given Word. We do pray that as we turn to it now, that You would give us hearts to believe and eyes to see what is in the text, that we might be brought into conformity with Your word and Your law and Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 7, verse 1 to 13. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to Him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of His disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And they came from the marketplace, and when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots, and copper vessels, and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked Him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And He said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And He said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'Whatever reviles father or mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do." Pharisees and scribes have come down to check Jesus out. They've come from Jerusalem, which means they've been sent from the officials. It's almost like sending the Spanish Inquisition, but instead of the Spanish Inquisition coming with torture, it's the Pharisees and scribes coming with accusations, questions, and general irritation. They come to Jesus because obviously they've heard about what's going on, and they want to check Him out. They want to see, is He problematic? Is He going to cause us issues? What does He believe? What does He say? What does He practice? They've come to investigate. And so as they come, they are observing Jesus, probably listening to His teaching. And as they're watching Him, they notice, the scribes notice that the disciples are eating food. Now, obviously, that's not very amazing, but it's problematic because they're not washing their hands. Now, even though your mother probably always told you to wash your hands before you eat, and you probably tell your children the same thing, that's not what's going on here. It's not because the disciples have poor hygiene habits. It's about defiling. And you'll notice because Mark talks about the fact that they wash having come from the marketplace. They wash their hands having come from the marketplace. And that's because in the marketplace they might have touched something unclean, something ceremonially unclean, something that would defile them. And therefore they need to wash the defiling stuff off before they eat their food. They need to make themselves clean again. Now, to you and I, either that might sound logical. It's probably a good idea to wash your hands after going to the marketplace before you eat. But for Jesus, this was a horror. This was a horror for Jesus. Mark informs us about the other traditions, but we don't need to unpack about the washing of beds, effectively. But let's see Jesus' response as these Pharisees question Jesus. They say to Him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" You see, the question is not so much the fact that their hands are defiled, but the fact that they're not doing what the elders say. They're not submitting and obeying the tradition of the elders. but rather they are doing something in contrast with those regulations that they had set up, the laws that they had created. And Jesus severely rebukes what he calls their hypocrisy. Now, when you and I talk about hypocrisy, we normally think of people who say something and then don't do it. You know, so you tell someone to do something and then you don't do it yourself. That's normally how we use the word hypocrisy, and that is hypocrisy. But Jesus is using it in a slightly different fashion. He's talking about not so much that the Pharisees are saying you aren't washing your hands, and meanwhile they're not washing their hands. They were obeying the traditions of the elders. No, Jesus's logic behind using the word hypocrisy is that the elders, the Pharisees and the scribes, as they unpack the teaching of the elders, are obeying the elders while disobeying God. That's the hypocrisy, is that they are honoring man and disobeying God. And so notice the hypocrisy that Jesus points to. Firstly, in verse 6 to 8, he quotes Isaiah and points out that they are adding to God's rules with man's rules. So, yes, God had said the Jews must be ceremonially clean, but nowhere in the scriptures does he command that the people must wash their hands before eating after coming from the marketplace. But what the Pharisees and the scribes and the teaching elders had done is they had taken the law of Moses and expanded it. They had added their own rules on top of it. And so God says, this people honors me, Jesus says, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. In other words, you guys have added to the law of God, and therefore your worship is in vain. These things that the Pharisees and the scribes are doing in order to worship God, Jesus says, count for nothing. They're absolutely vain. They're hollow. They're empty. They're meaningless. They're, as Solomon would say, they're vanity of vanities. They count for nothing. Now, if a Pharisee had washed his hand after the marketplace in order to be ceremonially clean, and he had done that out of his love for God, it could have been an act of worship. But the problem was they then took that and made it into a command. And therefore, it became vain. Why? Because they were adding to God's laws. Then you see not only they're adding, but they're actually replacing God's laws with man's laws. And we see that in verse 9 to 13 as Jesus explains why this is so bad. He sort of expounds upon what he's just said. And he takes this example of parents. And so he tells the story of the fact that, you know, God has said in the Old Testament that we must honor our father and mother. By the way, this is a good example of why the Ten Commandments are still in practice for us today. But God said, honor your father and mother. God says, whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But the Pharisees say, the elders say, the scribes say, if you say korban, if you dedicate something to God, then you don't have to honor your father or mother. So you can picture the situation. Dad needs $100 and he says, son, I need $100 from you. And the son says, sorry, I have dedicated this money for the use of God. So I don't have to do it. I don't have to honor God's law in relation to you. So the Pharisees have taken the law of God and replaced it with man's laws. And what's the outcome? Well, the outcome is people's minds, hearts are bound. Their consciences are bound by man and not God. You see, only God, as we rightly say in our confession, only God is the Lord of the conscience. And he forms and informs the conscience based off God's word. Because it's only God's law that can bind us, nothing else. It's God's word that binds the conscience, not man. But they were binding the consciences of these people. But then we also see that they make God's word void, Jesus says. They make God's word meaningless because they're ignoring it. They're saying it's not important. What's really important is what we say about the laws, what we say about the rules. So what can we learn from this? Well, firstly, we can learn that God has set out how we are to worship him. Notice he talks about that vain worship. God has told us how to worship him, and we're not to worship him any other way. We must do it in accordance with God's word. Secondly, we can note that obedience is set out by God. You and I cannot decide what obedience to God looks like. The word of God informs the conscience. And then lastly, in the gospel of Christ, we have freedom of conscience. We are set free from the laws of men who seek to bind us in our obedience and worship to God. He has set us free from that, free from those regulations, so that we can live in accordance with God's word. And his word can hold us conscience. He can hold our consciences in place. You see, gospel freedom is one of the most important things in the Christian faith. It's something very prevalent right now, isn't it? And we're going to see more about that tomorrow. But the sense that God has freed us to serve him and worship him and love him in accordance with his word. And the second we start adding, replacing, or taking away from that, we only ever crush people, stop obedience, and cancel the worship of God. Let us stick firmly to God's word on these issues. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We do pray that you would help us to stick to it firmly, that we might honor you and not men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for checking us out for another day. I'll see you back here tomorrow.